Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to today's press conference of Allianz SE on the occasion of the publication of the financial results for the second quarter 2018. For your information, this conference will be taped. The audio recording will be made available on allianz.com following the conference. With this, I would like to hand over to Christian Kroos.
Well, good morning and welcome also from my side. Welcome to our quarterly call on the figures of the second quarter and the first half of the year. As usual, our CFO, Giulio Terzariol, will guide you through the figures and afterwards answer your questions. Mr. Terzariol?
Yeah, good morning to all of you. I'm glad to be able to present to you the figures of the second quarter. Before we get into the quarterly figures, on page three, you will see an overview of the first six months of the year. If we look now on slide three, you can see that we're satisfied with being well on track to reach our targets for the overall year. Total revenues grew by more than 5%, and all segments contributed to this positive development. The operating profit was at close to 5.8 billion euros, which was more or less stable on the previous year's level. We know that the forecast for the year is 11.1 billion. If you divide the 11.1 billion by two, we would be at a little above 5.5 billion. With 5.8 billion, we are significantly above the midpoint for the full year, so for the development until June. If you look at the different parameters, combined ratio, new business margin, and also the cost-income ratio, you can see that all KPIs have improved, especially when it comes to the combined ratio. We've seen an improvement of 20 basis points, and that in spite of the fact that in the first six months of the year 2008, we had to withstand more natural catastrophes than in the previous year. The half-year net income is on the previous year's level, and the earnings per share increased by 5%. As of the half-point of the year, I think we have a good picture, and we're well on track to reach our figures for the overall year. Let us now come to page five. Here you see the figures for the second quarter of the year. Total revenues in the second quarter grew quite well. We have an internal growth of more than 6%, and all the segments also contributed to the positive development during the quarter. The operating profit grew by close to 3%, adjusted for exchange rate factors. The growth rate would have been 6%, and the growth rate of operating profit was driven above all by our asset management segment. The shareholders' net income decreased by around 100 million. Reason for this is the burden from selling part of our life insurance portfolio in Taiwan. Adjusted for this effect, the shareholders' net income would have increased, so we would have seen a plus figure. I would also like to mention that our tax ratio is approximately 2 percentage points lower than in the previous year due to the U.S. tax reform. This positive development was offset by negative foreign exchange effects in the second quarter of the year. We had the positive effects from the tax ratio, and on the other hand, currency exchange rates, and in sum, that was slightly negative. In addition, we had the Taiwan effect. Adjusted for all these special effects, we would have seen a growth of our shareholders' net income of approximately 5%. Let us now come to page seven, where you see the development of our shareholders' equity and our solvency ratio. Well, the shareholders' equity went down 3 billion in the quarter, and that was due to the payouts the dividend payouts and the share buyback. The quarterly surplus of 1.9 billion went into the calculation, but in part that was offset by the reduction of realized gains from fixed interest rate securities. The solvency ratio increased by 5 percentage point to 230. If we took into account the effect of the announced share buyback that we announced in June, then we would have capitalization share a solvency ratio of 227%. That is to say, we also, if we include this, we have a reduction of the solvency II ratio by around 2 to 3 percentage points. On page 9, you can see the capital generation. We didn't have any changes of a model, or there were no regulatory adjustments during the quarter. The contribution from our operations at 8% was more or less on the level that we had also seen in the previous quarters. The market impacts were neutral in some, and that in spite of the fact that in Italy we have a crisis, if you wish, of the credit spreads. When it comes to capital management and management actions, we saw the reflections of the future dividends, which we have to include here in the prorated way, so minus 1.1%. Adjusted for this influence, the contribution of capital management and management actions would have been slightly positive, and that is due to the Taiwan transaction. So overall, there were no major shifts during the quarter. It was relatively boring in this, if you wish, and the solvency ratio is still, as I mentioned, at a very good level. Now I would like to talk a little bit about different segments, and on page 11, we'll start with our P&C business. Here you can see the growth rate overall. Our internal growth in the second quarter was quite strong with 7%. There is also little seasonality to our business, and you can see this with HECS, where we had a growth rate of 19%. That was driven in part by seasonality. The same holds true for the credit insurance of Euler Hermes, but if we adjust for these special effects or seasonality, we nevertheless have come up with a growth rate for the quarter of over 5%. I would like to point out Germany this quarter, where we reached a growth rate of more than 4% for the quarter, but also for the 6 months, for the first half of the year. In Italy, we saw a slight plus, which hadn't been the case for many quarters, and that I would say the development in the other OEs was more or less as expected and forecast. And as I said, in AGCS there are some seasonal effects, but if we adjust the figures of AGCS for the seasonal factors, they would still have great growth rate of 9%. And for credit insurance, if we take out the seasonal effects, the growth rate would have been at around 4 to 4.5%. Then if you look to the right-hand side, that's also important. If we look at the momentum, so overall we have an environment which is either positive or stable, and that speaks quite gives us quite a positive outlook for the coming months, and at least for the remainder this year and the year 2019. So when it comes to growth rates, we have a great picture for property and casualty, a very strong picture indeed. Page 13 shows the development of our operating profit in P&C, the investment result. Set of the slight decrease of the underwriting result and the worsening of the underwriting result is due to a slight increase of our combined ratio. The main reason for that being the large burdens from natural catastrophes. In the previous year, they were extreme. They have been extremely low, and during this quarter, during the last quarter, they weren't that high at 1.3, so it's not that large, that much of a burden, but nevertheless higher than in the previous year's quarter. We also have to underline that during this quarter, we had a higher burden from weather-related events. So these are not natural catastrophes, but nevertheless significant events. And we also had a larger burden from major claims compared to the previous year. Larger losses. The expense ratio is quite good. We're at we have a goal of 28.44 at the end of the year, so at the half of the year we are well on track to reach this goal. We're a little below, so 27.8 was the expense ratio in the second quarter. The main question that we have is whether we can reach the combined ratio goal of 94 for the overall year. As you've just seen, we're at 94.9 for the quarter. So my answer would be yes, we can reach the 94 for the year. If we look at the development of the basis loss ratio, here we see an improvement. If we look compare this to 2018, or if we compare 2018 to 2017, we can see an improvement. But also if we compare the first and second quarter in 2018, we've seen an improvement. So assuming a normal natural catastrophe impact and no special burdens from major losses in the second half of the year, we should be able to reach the 94% combined ratio for the year. Page 15 now shows you the development of the operating profit and the combined ratio for the selected OEs, and here I would like to focus on those with figures that stand out somehow. In France, we had a decrease of 45% of operating profit, which was driven by volatility in the sense of a higher number of natural catastrophes, of weather-related losses, and also of major losses. In Australia, we saw a large increase of operating profit that was due to good runoff results. Then Spain, plus 40% in operating profit. Those were the effects of an improved combined ratio. And in the United Kingdom, plus 23.6%, they stem from our LV transaction. So we now receive revenues from the LV transaction. And we've also improved our combined ratio. And in Turkey, the development seems to be negative, but that's translated into euros. In local currency, it would have been a plus, and even though there were some major losses. So overall, the operating profit was on the previous year's level, even a little higher. And also, if you look at the 1.4 million and normalize this, then it is above our outlook for the overall year, for the whole year. On page 17, you can see our investment income that was up mainly due to higher interest from equities. There were also special effects, but also adjusted for these special effects, we would have seen a plus or an increase of the operating investment result. What's even more important is the development of the current yield from our debt securities, and that increased by 2 basis points. Here we also had some adjusted that for some special effects, or if we adjusted for some special effects, it would have remained at least stable, and that is a positive development because over the past quarters we'd always seen a decrease of the current yield. So we just have to monitor how this will develop or continue to develop over the next quarters, but after 4 years, for the first time, there was no reduction in this KPI in the current yield. With this, I would now like to switch to our life and health business on page 19. We have three goals when it comes to new production in life health. First of all, we want to make sure that 80% of our new business will be in what we call preferred products. And in the second quarter of 2018, we were at 81%, so we reached this goal also for the second quarter. The second goal we have is to create a new business margin of above 3%, and in the second quarter we were at 3.5%, so another goal we reached. And then we also want to grow, and you can see this at the bottom right. So the growth rate was 3% for the year. Adjusted for currency effects, the growth rate would have been at close to 5%, but here you have to say that the difficult work was mainly done by Allianz Life in Germany. They grew with 21.7% and supported the whole segment, whereas in other countries we saw some reduction in Italy or Benelux, for example. That's got to do with the reduction of the production of unit-linked insurances there. Page 21, here you can see the development of operating profit in life health. That went down 50 million, 30 million of this stem from foreign exchange rate volatilities, so with close to 1.1 billion in operating profit, the performance of life health was within our within the range of our expectations. Our forecast for the year is 4.2. If you divide this by 4, you will come up with 1.5 billion. So with 1.075 billion, we are within the framework of our expectations for the performance in a quarter. Now, coming to page 23, here you can see the development of our value of new business, the new business margin, and the operating profit for the major OEs. The new business value in the quarter was at close to 500 million, an increase of 5% year on year. The increase in the value of new business can be traced back to the increase in production. The margin, the new business margin, grew by 10 basis points, so more or less flat compared to the previous year's level, but the increase in production led to an increase in the value of new business. Now, if we look at the operating profit in Germany and the U.S., we saw a decrease, and I would like to say it's more a normalization, because in the U.S. in the previous year we had very favorable conditions, especially for variable annuities, because volatility was that low. This year volatility is picked up. It's at least not as low as it used to be, so it's kind of normalization. But the figures of Allianz Life for the second quarter are on track. And then we also had foreign exchange effects, of course, in the United States. And for Allianz Life, we also have a kind of some seasonal effects. If you compare Allianz Life for the 6 months, you can see growth of the operating profit by 3%. So once again, our message is that over the course of this quarter, everything was well on track and in line with our expectations. Page 25 shows you the investment margin. The investment margin went down 2 basis points compared to the second quarter of 2017. Now, if you look at this table, you can see the gross investment margin that remained stable on the level of 57 basis points, but in this quarter we had a higher effect of a higher degree of profit sharing on the IFRS. Now, if we look at the expectations for the investment margin, we would expect to a range of 90 to 95 basis points on an annualized basis, and with 22 basis points, we would be at 88 basis points normalized, so a little less than the bandwidth we've set ourselves. But you have to see that we had hardly any net harvesting in the second quarter, so usually until the end of the year we will have some net harvesting, and that would then also lead to a investment margin within the line of our expectations. And with this, I would now like to come to the asset management segment on page 27. We have close to 2 billion euros in assets under management, and so we are at the threshold of 2 billion, and that's the highest level in the history of Allianz, which makes us really, really, really proud that we've reached this margin for the assets under management. Now, if we look at the development in the quarter regarding the third-party assets under management, the growth rate of 2.5%, but that is mainly due to foreign exchange impacts. Other than that, as you can see, the net flows were negative, minus 1 billion at AGI and 8 billion at PIMCO. So there was a certain volatility in the quarter, but you also have to take into account the following. If we look at the overall year, we still have net inflows, and with PIMCO we're currently at 11 billion, for example, and you also have to take into account that PIMCO, both in June but also in July, posted positive net inflows. And another point is the margin of the inflows is higher than the margin we're losing with the outflows. So net, once you look at our revenues, the development is not a burden, and that is also reflected if we switch to page 29, where you can see that our revenues developed quite well. So in the case of PIMCO, we had a growth rate, an internal growth rate of 16.5%, and in case of AGI, an internal growth rate of 3.3%. But the main topic is that the fee margins, fees have gone up. So if we look at the margin, that was 39.9 basis points in the previous year, and now we're at 41 in the margin in basis points, and that is what counts at the end for the performance of this segment. On page 31, you can see what happens when assets under management increase, when the margin increases, and if the cost income ratio goes down, then of course the operating profit increases. So adjusted for foreign exchange effects, the operating profit grew by close to 20%. So overall, we can say that the performance in asset management was great, in spite of the fact that there were some uncertainties on the capital markets in the second quarter. Now, page 33, from my point of view, there is not that much to say to this slide. That's why I would like to get to page 35 immediately, where we can see the development of non-operating items. So overall, there haven't been that many changes compared to the previous year's quarter. Just look at the amortization of intangible assets, and we had the minus 224 million. That was the Taiwan transaction that we talked about. Then the tax ratio, the tax rate is approximately 2 percentage points better than the previous year, and at 26%. It is at the lower end of our expectations. We have bandwidth of 26% to 28% when it comes to the effective tax rate. So on page 37, I will give you now a final overview of our renewal agenda regarding the earnings per share. Unless there are any unforeseen events like any major catastrophes or major shifts on the capital market, other than that, we should be able to reach the goal without any problems. When it comes to the return on equity, where the goal of 13% may well be reached, there is a slight uncertainty, but if everything's normal, we'll reach the 13%, and shouldn't we reach it, then we would be talking about some basis points and not about a major deviation. When it comes to the combined ratio, we stick to the level of 94%. We say we can reach it. Then with the, if we look at the return on equity in our life health, OEs, we're now at 93% in the sense of the number of OEs with a return on equity of over 10%, and by the end of the year, we should be over 95%. Now, new business margin will certainly reach the 3%. And just one last comment on the NPS. We're now at 60%. The goal is 75% for the NPS, and our forecast is that by the end of the year, we'll reach 70% or a little over. So we might not reach the 75%, but with 70% plus, we would say that we have a very, that we showed a very strong performance before, because 3 years ago, we were below 50%, so that's a significant improvement. So overall, we expect to see good results across the board. So overall, we have a great quarter behind us. We had a great first half of the year, good results. We're well positioned for the second half of the year, and therefore, I'm confident also for this, for the remainder of the year. And with this, I would now like to ask you to ask your questions.
Thank you very much. If you would like to ask a question, please, press the star and asterisk key and number one on your telephone. Please make sure that your mute signal is activated so that your signal can reach our devices. If you find that your question has been answered already, you can withdraw it by pressing asterisk two. And also, please press asterisk one in order to answer, to ask a question. So our first question comes from Michael Flämig from Börsen-Zeitung. Yes, good morning, Mr. Terzariol, or good morning, Mr. Grossen. I have three questions. First of all, about the three-year targets, and then secondly, about the direct insurance, and then the volume increase in P&C. About the three-year goals, you're quite confident with regard to the result, and this is much above the 5%. But as far as I understood, this is an average over 3 years, and that means in the second half of the year, if I got it right, there should be substantial momentum. Would that be expected? On the AGM, Mr. Bäte announced that there's going to be a direct insurer in Allianz. So what about the status of preparations? And my third question, you also mentioned the special effects as regards the increase within P&C, HDI by 17%+, because of Allianz Trends. And so what were the special effects or the seasonality? Yes, let's start with the earnings per share, the 6.8%. Well, anyway, that has been calculated. We'll make a normalization of our result after 6 months, and that's calculated related based to the status 2015, so that's why I would say actually in the second half of the year we can have less earnings than in the first year, because then still we would reach the 5%, so we're actually better positioned. So that is not a topic that you have to consider as well, that the share purchase program that is not important for reaching these 5%. In direct, we are in the process of setting up the direct insurance. So November, we're going to make more clearer statements, but we continue working intensively in setting up the direct insurance. And when it comes to the special effects, and I see that this is a fronting business, and that moves away from the earned contributions. And, we do see again and again that we do see the seasonal effects. What is important when you look at the growth rate of of IHGCS adjusted by ART, then you're at 19%, which is a healthy growth rate. This 9% has come also from Corp from the US, and also from property that also contribute to that 9% growth, and PNC in Europe and also in the US. We do see a good development regarding the production of IHGCS. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, next question comes from Alexander Hübner from Reuters. Thank you. Yes, good morning, Mr. Tesario. I have only two questions, and maybe you can give us a calculation of the influence of the share repurchase program, I mean the completed and the new one, which they have on the return on equity. It looks as if the 13% could be made because of that, after you were a bit more skeptical earlier this year. And my second question is, with your forecast, you're still in that range, 11.1 minus 500 million euros. Would it not be time, so to say, like, okay, based on the current status, we're going to reach the upper half? Because analysts also proceed from the assumption that they say 11.5 billion. Yeah, let me start with the first question. The buyback of 1 billion calculates, I mean, if you do the buyback in the course of the year, so for the return on equity, it makes 10 basis points. And for the earnings per share, it makes 0.1. But that helps for the return on equity. But it's not the reason why we have conducted the share buyback program. And I wanted to say, in the first quarter, I said but I'm quite precise. So I related to the basic points. And what has changed? There wasn't much change. So we made another good quarter. So each time that we have a good quarter, our reliability is even being reconfirmed. And that also relates to the return on equity. The 13% can be attained. And if not, then it's all about basic points. That means the share buyback program was not initiated for us to reach 13%. Further to the forecast for the year, I would also say if we have normal setting of nat cats in the second year half, and if we don't get major burdens from major losses, and if the capital markets develop normally, we should fairly expect that we would land in the upper half of our forecast. But as always, you know, we still have 5 months to go. And last year we saw what happened, and in September, October, we've received a major nat cat, specifically in September, and that's why we became a bit more careful. But considering a normal course of events, we should render very quite good results by year end.
Thank you.
Our next question from Mirko Reitner from Platon, please. I've got two questions, Mr. Tesserio. I would like to know, what is your net outflow of PIMCO explanation, even if the results in the dollar effect are quite good? Actually, the environment should be quite good for PIMCO. Why was the outflow? Because you say that it has improved anyway. And my second question, the portfolio adjustment in Taiwan, why was this burden of 220 million? And do you expect further, or do you plan to have further adjustments in your portfolio which might have a similar effect? As regards PIMCO, so we had outflows of 8 billion and a quarter. Out of the 8 billion, 7 were attributable to a major mandate, which was also a mandate that was having a very small fee margin. And I don't know whether you remember, but before in the VUC, we've received mandates and amounting to 20 billion. And we also said that there was also one, included one mandate with a low fee, and that went back. So adjusted by this mandate, the development at PIMCO was rather flat. And like I said before, in June and July, we went back on inflows, and that's why the development is actually quite favorable. But you also need to say that there was a certain uncertainty, and there's still probably a certain uncertainty in the U.S., because of increasing interest rates. This might also mean volatility for us and also a burden, but like I said, at PIMCO, the situation is running very fine. Now, for the transaction in Taiwan, so the 200 million loss come from the difference of if you take the book value that we had and what was also transferred to the buyer, and that was the loss business, and that's why when you make a loss, then you also book a loss. And that's why it also depends which accounting system you look at the figures. And like in IFRS, we booked a loss, but for Solvency II, actually there was a return in there and earnings. So basically this business, this transaction placed the burden on our results, and that was not an everyday event, and that's why we departed from that business. Regarding other transactions, I would not want to exclude that for some portfolios, we will also in case that in the future we will make transactions in this direction outside Germany. Okay? I mean outside Germany, yes. Yeah. We look at things and then we calculate that whether that is economically reasonable or not. And if we believe it is economically reasonable, then we would make further transactions. And please also bear in mind, 2 or 3 years we made Korea. So when we see good opportunities, we're going to make further transactions like that. Thank you very much. Now we have our next question coming from Herbert Fromme from Süddeutsche Zeitung. Yes, good morning. Further to what you just said that the sale of further life insurers outside Germany is possible. Yes. So further questions, the development of the combined ratio was good because and it related to weather-related losses, which is a new category, because so far we just had NatCat. but now you refer to weather issues and weather losses. And did you have major losses in industrial? And I also found it in page 5 of your half-year report that confused me, because that, so if you disconsider NatCat, then the loss or combined ratio was the 17.6, and there was some rentability increases in the land group. So the profitability increases will lowered the combined ratio. How does that work? So let's start with the first question. And I said that outside Germany, we might sell from the life insurance portfolio. And we did that in the past, and we would not exclude that for the future. The solution that we would prefer to have reinsurance solutions, but we're still responsible for this solvency rate and towards our customers and our service. But that would be definitely the preferred solution. But also we could potentially sell. Having said that, we have no concrete plans at the moment, but talking about the future, I would like to say clearly, it could well be that we take further measures in this respect. Now, in the topic of the weather-related losses, that is not a new definition. We've always classified that, and also and we said that in our communication, at least in the comments, we always separated between the distinguished between NatCat and weather-related losses. The difference between NatCat and weather-related losses is the scope. So to have for us to qualify and classify an event as NatCat, then the burden on group level needs to be at least 20 million. That means once we had an event with 18 million, that would not be classified as NatCat. But we also clearly define it as unusual. And then that refers to that would fall into the weather-related classification cluster. Well, that is no new information in terms of how we analyze the figures and how we talk about the figures. And your last question was that we've improved. You know, the topic is the following. We always look at the combined ratio for the current year adjusted by NatCat, weather-related losses and major losses. And I will talk about the major losses in a second. We keep on looking at these figures. And then we determine the so-called basic loss rate. And the basic loss rate has improved. It has improved by roughly 1% compared with the previous term, no matter whether you take the 3 months or the 6 months. And that comes from our efforts of increasing our profitability, and I would say across all OEs. And then the question was, what are the major losses? I can give you an example. Like in HCS, for example, in the quarter we had a burden of 14 million from a car supplier, automotive supplier. And it's not even our customer, but if the automotive supplier cannot deliver it, then of course we have a contingent business interruption where we had to pay 40 million. And we had accumulation in the second quarter of major losses in HECS in the volume of 10 million. And if you receive 6 or 7 of these 10 million events, plus the 40 million, then obviously this adds up to such a substantial figure. I'd like to ask one more question. If it makes sense to have life and put it back into reinsurance or to sell it from reinsurance, so why does it not make sense in the German book? I would say, first of all, Allianz Life is highly profitable. Allianz Leben. That's why we're happy with the result of Allianz Leben. I would even tell you, many of our OEs in life insurance are profitable. And that's why we gave ourselves the target 3 years ago that the return on equity should be or have to be above 10%. And as I said before, we have 93%. So our strategy is we want to keep the lift and the return over the 10% level. And that's why there is no need to sell business. And but it happens that some portfolio is not good, and that's why we take measures. And I also would like to add, and Germany is our home market, and so there's also a certain emotional tie to our home market. So these were emotional reasons and not business reasons. So it's rather political reasons or return reasons. Yeah, of course, it needs to be profitable, of course, sure. That is the responsibility for the business. And as you can see, so the amounts and the new business margin is good. The ROI of Allianz Leben is above 10%. So all the profitability key figures are right. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you very much. Now we have a next question from Jean-Philippe Lacour from AFP. Yes, hello. Gentlemen, my first question regarding France. And you're saying that there's a strong decline of the operational results, 46%. Could you explain, or that example, can you concretely say what were the factors that led to that? And most likely it was due to NatCat or maybe something else, maybe you can say that. And would that be a reason for worry, or is this just a one-time effect in that quarter, and that is, and you expect that it's hopefully running better than in the future? And second question, Oliver Bethe will, end of November, will explain the strategy of the group. I mean, it's still some time to go by then. Can you give us an idea? Are we going to hear an evolution or a revolution? Thank you very much. As regards France, basically what happened in France was, first of all, effect from NatCat from of 3.3%, and then also 1 to 2% more weather-related losses than in the previous year, and the rest remains to major losses. So we made a comment where we wrote in total, the total between weather-related losses and major losses is almost 9% more than in the previous term. And whether that is reason for concern, no. In the first quarter, we've seen normal results. And once in a while, it happens that we get accumulation of major losses or catastrophes. So speaking to the OE, and we look at the development of the underlying performance, we are able to say that there's no reason to be concerned. So as regards the announcement by the year end, whether that's going to be a revolution or an evolution, well, it's going to be definitely an evolution, and we have the renewal agenda that we started in 2015. We're happy with the results, and now, basically, we're going to reinforce that topic. You may expect that customer centricity will stay a focus area. We will productivity will also be enhanced, and also growth. And by the way, I'm always believed that growth and productivity go hand in hand. And so as it comes to digitalization, it's going to stay important, but we believe that the topic of digitalization is strongly related to changes of the business models in terms of simplification, for example. So we don't think this is going to be a revolution. It's just a evolution that we should expect, rather. Thank you very much. The first question, can you give me a concrete example? Was there any particular storm? I haven't remembered that. Mr. Cross can. If you have a second, I can tell you what that was in France. any major storm or what was the event? Let me just find out. We can also probably take further questions in the meantime while we... NatCat in second quarter, France. For example, there was the... How do you say it in German? The flood. That was the 6 months, you know, of the same river. We had storms and a hurricane in overseas, and then we also had some storms in May and June. And so we had a major fire loss in a commercial area. There are many cases, actually. Okay, thank you. Now let's turn to the next question. Thank you very much. So to recap, ladies and gentlemen, please press asterisk 1 to ask a question. Now next question from Stefan Weyer from DPA IFIX, please. Yes, good morning. I also have two questions. Talk about the big money with the share buyback program. You surprised us somewhat earlier a few weeks ago than we expected that, because you said that you're going to do that in an annual interval. I've got an analyst of JP Morgan speculating that in Q4 another extraordinary share buyback will come, which means for me actually that you all expect that you don't expect any further takeover. And these are the questions. Share buyback, would that be possible again this year? And what about any mergers and M&A areas, and is there anything planned? Are you doing something in this respect? During 2018, we had a total of 3 billion share buybacks. We had 3 last year. If you calculate the dividend, so we have 13 billion disbursements throughout 18 months. So that means for the year, we have performed something. As regards the future, I don't want to make any announcement. As always, we're going to check the options that might include M&A options or internal growth, and then we're going to calculate. And we also have to see beyond 2018. We also have to look at potential pipeline topics in 2019, and then we're going to take the decision. What is important for me to note, I'm fully concerned that that we can also create value without M&A. I mean, if there is an M&A option, why not? But we can also create value also without M&A, and we're doing fine even without M&As. Plus, we made a buyback, but also at the same time, we announced that 2 weeks ago, we made a small acquisition in Spain of Multi Asistencia. So as you see, we do both. We do M&As and buybacks, and we keep on checking our options. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, asterisk 1 for questions, please. All right, if someone else would have had a question, that is not the case. So thank you very much for your participation and your interest, and I wish you a nice weekend and a nice summer as well. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this ends today's conference. We thank you for your participation and wish you a great remainder of the day.